Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sactown Sports.
In 2 hours, the Jacksons and Sister Sledge, you will have an opportunity to win tickets. Thunder Valley, that will happen March 30th in 2 hours. For more information, visit SactownSports.com in 2 hours. And Chris Watkins will choose the number caller today.
Not Drapes?
In 2 hours, Chris will choose the number if you want to see the Jacksons and Sister Sledge. Now, here we go, Chris. And by the way, Chris, we have CJ Langs on the Sack Chat says he walked by you yesterday during the game and says maybe he'll get a picture next time.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah,
roll up. We're nice guys.
Yeah, I walked the concourse yesterday with our guy Matt George before the game. Maybe it was then, but I might join Matt. I know Matt likes to do those before every game. I might join him.
So what do you mean?
To do. I'm gonna head back upstairs.
What do you mean walk the concourse?
Matt likes to walk the concourse before every game.
Just walk around. He's never invited me to walk around.
I only joined the walk because I got some chicken tenders yesterday instead of eating the media dining.
Walking the concourse is fun. I'm gonna second Matt George.
Yeah, no, he says he.
It sounds fun.
I asked him why he does it, and I mean, you know, I think it's so he can get noticed, but
okay, so maybe that's the difference.
I'm joking. I think he actually does it to get a vibe for, you know, how the crowd's feeling, and you can kind of get a feel for the energy. And then, dude, yesterday we didn't talk about it yet. There was a ton of Heat fans.
There are a lot of Heat fans.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I learned something last night. Now, is that because I think it's...
I was trying to figure it out. I don't know.
I mean, look.
It's Miami, I guess.
It's Miami. I was a huge Dwayne Wade fan. If I didn't have... If I was a Dwayne Wade fan and didn't have another team, and maybe, you know, the Kings weren't really doing much or whatever, and everyone's got a cousin in Miami, I could see... It makes sense now.
Yeah.
But... It was really surprising when I walked in there. And they got a
loud.
And you look, if you dish it, you got to be able to take it. Two nights ago, we had Light the Beam in LA.
That's true.
And last night, we had Let's Go Heat.
It was loud.
And it was loud.
It was loud. For like the entire fourth quarter.
It was bad.
It was really, really
bad. That's part of it. And I think
Heat fans
honestly
get a bad rap, too. That's why I was so surprised. I was like, I thought y'all get the rap for leaving early.
They don't care.
Not really caring.
That traffic, you got to rent the Lambo. You got to rent the Lamborghini. You got to drive down.
It's on a per hour basis.
Right. You got to drive down, you know, the main strip so everybody can see the Lambo.
That's true. That's
lime green, of course.
It's downtown Miami, too. That's awful traffic.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they're legitimately just late.
That's true.
They're legitimately just late. Could but be. CJ, next time you see us or see Chris or see whoever, say what's up. That could
Especially
have been the one highlight.
If you see Frankie, then you definitely got
to say what's up to Frankie. Because CJ's saying I drove all the way out there and the Kings didn't have the effort.
Yeah.
You could have had one highlight.
One win.
You could have had
a photo
one
with
highlight.
Chris Watkins or Kyle Draper.
Or Draper, whichever
That's right. Whichever one comes first. I'm there too. Yeah. I'm there too from the 916, Chris. And this is what I was alluding to before the show from our guy, Sam. He does put the caveat way out there, but here's the name. Dwight Howard is out there. No, hold on. Dwight Howard is out there in shape.
He sure is.
And good for limited minutes. He is physical. Question mark.
He is physical?
But do we think, I'm not convinced that there is truly a rim issue. And this is what we were talking about yesterday with the Tim Legler thing, right? Let's go down the list. Jokic, we know there's a problem. I'm just going through Western Conference teams. Mm-hmm. Jokic, there's a problem. I don't know that I would call Gobert a problem offensively. Is the problem with Karl-Anthony Towns?
When you say problem, you mean like a problem for
everybody
Sabonis.
Watching Bam last night is now saying we need rim protection. We need rim protection. But now I'm just going down the Western Conference teams to say who can expose you like that, though.
I don't think many can, because I do think we were literally talking about it yesterday. I think Bam fits in that Kevon Looney, especially body type, where I think there's just a certain kind of guy that Sabonis can't really use his strength and his leverage on. Because a guy like Jokic, I would say, well, Sabonis traditionally kind of goes, you know, pretty much goes knock for knock with him. you know, Jokic is could be on a different level, and maybe in the playoffs he'll take it to a different level. But, you know, Sabonis is still able to kind of throw his weight around. Gobert, he's a great defender, but Sabonis can out-physical him. Bam is 6'9", built like a truck. Mm-hmm. That's about as close to the Kevon Looney type of build as you're going to get. I just kind of feel like it was a really bad matchup. And, I mean, Bam, I mean, I'm not trying to give Sabonis literally any credit here. Bam cooked him all night long. Like, ISO'd, they cleared out the side. They just said, Bam, you can face this man up, do whatever you want. He did whatever he want, and he cooked him all night long. So Sabonis can be a defensive liability, but I just think more times than not, you're not going against guys who present that kind of challenge. Like, I think Sabonis can use his physicality on like 90% of centers. I just think, honestly, Bam is one of the few that he can.
Yeah, and we're talking about offensive, or we're talking about defensively, which is why Dwight Howard was brought up. So you just go down the list. You got Gobert. You got Gobert. I'm not worried about him offensively.
There's nothing.
And Karl Anthony Towns isn't really going to play like a traditional big.
He's going to play on the perimeter.
Thunder, I'm not worried about Chet.
Sabonis kills Chet.
Nuggets, we just talked about Jokic. It is what it is. Clippers, I'm not worried about Zubac.
No.
Okay. Well, he was kind of balling.
He was making it tough for Sabonis' offense. I don't think you have to worry about Zubac on offense.
Right. And look, if I'm missing this, I'm just connecting this to the Bam stuff.
Yeah.
Rim protection in general, I don't know. If Dwight Howard, there's some bad teams out there.
Dwight Howard could help. Solving your rim protection problem.
I don't think so. Okay, the Suns.
No, Mookie!
We got our guy.
You got a guy.
He's
you got
30,
a guy.
Whatever. He's 36
you
years
got
old.
A guy.
He is not the rim protector.
Nurkic, I know how you feel about Nurkic.
Soft.
I know how you feel about Nurkic.
Charmin.
Pelicans, just one of those hybrid teams. We got to worry about the whole Pelicans roster anyway, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah, Valanciunas, though.
And then after that, you got the Mavericks, Lakers with AD, of course, the Warriors who, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know if we're listing problems for the Kings, I don't know if rim protection is number one for me.
Yeah, it hasn't really shown its ugly head this season. It was a bigger problem last year. I mean, I think the bigger problem this year is, frankly, the opposite. It's the perimeter. Like, they cannot stop anybody from shooting, you know, 38%+ from beyond the three. So that, to me, is the bigger issue right now. But I still think they have a rim protection problem. I just personally believe that they can't solve it with one player. Like, I think that it is a wider personnel problem. I think they need more length at the four, not only the five, to help the rim protection. Because I think, you know, you can band-aid it. Yeah, I think JaVale McGee or Alex Len helps, you know, put some sort of physical rim presence there defensively. But, you know, are you becoming the Timberwolves with Rudy Gobert if you have Len or Alex Len or JaVale or any other rim protection? I don't think so. I think this team is just kind of fundamentally flawed when it comes to rim protection. So I don't think that they're one quick fix away from solving that problem.
Let's flip this the other way around and compare the Kings to other teams in the West and say whether or not they have rim protection. The Timberwolves, obviously, they have rim protection.
Absolutely.
Is Chet a rim protector? He gets blocked,
but is he a rim protector?
Exactly.
That's the question. I mean, I wouldn't. I guess, but it's not Rudy Gobert level.
No.
Like, maybe it's rim protection, but I don't know if, like, you would say, like, hey, don't attack the rim against OKC.
Jokic, he a rim protector?
No. I mean, you can get around him if you put him in the pick and roll, especially. I mean, you can get to the rim.
Zubac?
I guess. He serves the purpose, but it's not elite.
So we're at about 2.5 out of the top four seeds.
I think the bigger problem for the Clippers is they got, like, nobody after Zubac. Like, when he has to go out of the game.
They got
Daniel Tice, dude.
No, they put Daniel Tice in there, but, like, I've seen them go to small lineups when Zubac is out of there, too.
Yeah. You have the Nurkic, he a rim protector?
No. KD probably more is so than Nurkic.
Valanciunas?
I mean, no, I wouldn't say so. I mean, they're like maybe like a half step better than Sabonis just because they're bigger or taller. But, you know, it's all pretty much the same.
My point of this exercise is that elite rim protection isn't easy to come by.
Yes.
Right? Now, I think the problem is...
I would also say if you're not elite, then you're all pretty much the same.
Right.
I think the problem is teams that don't have elite rim protection seem to have other things that the Kings don't have.
Yes.
The Pelicans might not have elite with Valanciunas, but they got something else.
Yeah.
You could say the same thing. The Thunder are just long everywhere, right? So you don't need the traditional. The Kings don't have traditional rim protection or new age rim protection. They have neither.
I think, yeah. So the problem is, if we're not saying the Kings don't have rim protection issues, we're just saying there's a lot bigger. There's other issues on defense that are a little bit more pressing. Like it's the fact that they're really just bad at defense all around. They don't guard the perimeter, and yes, they're not great at protecting the rim, but they're not as bad at protecting the rim as they are at defending the perimeter. So you got to kind of take one step at a time there, and I think defending the perimeter at this point seems to be a little bit more important, because if you can just, I mean, we've seen it every single night. It feels like teams are just hitting career highs from three, and it makes it almost impossible. And that helped Miami last night. The fact that they were able to hit, I think they ended up hitting 12 threes, that really ended up putting them in a situation where they scored 120 points, where I don't think typically they would have thought they could have, but they leaned into the three a lot more than they typically would.
Real quick here, just confirming, Wheeling University is a Division II school in West Virginia.
Okay.
And that is where one Haywood Highsmith attended.
So you guys have heard of the Mountain West Conference, right?
Yes.
They play in a conference called the Mountain East.
Okay.
All right.
Currently this year, the Cardinals are 6-13 in conference play, have an overall record of 9-16, and they have a big game coming up tomorrow against Salem University.
That's right. That's right. I did catch that. I was meaning to check that out for sure. You have Haywood Highsmith, 6 points per game, 2.9 rebounds, one assist. And by the way, listening to De'Aaron in the post-game presser, DeLon Wright joined the Heat about 2 weeks ago.
Yep, sure did.
2 weeks ago.
Next King. He was on the Kings' radar, too, come draft.
13 points for DeLon Wright. Haywood Highsmith, 15 points. He played 29 minutes. And look, when I say I don't care about the Heat culture, I say that because it's not an excuse for the Kings. But what the Heat do, right, and you heard Jimmy. He's not playing, but you heard Jimmy. It's that time of year. It's that time of year, and apparently it is for the Heat. And hopefully it can be that time of year for the Kings as well. And it all happens when they take on the Nuggets next. When we get back, we continue to talk about the Kings. We will discuss the curious case of De'Aaron Fox's game last night. Where would you rank it? And a little bit later, 11:30, we got Blame Pie. And is there a little bit too much blitzing going on with the Kings? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Subscribe to Sacktown Sports on YouTube and watch the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross, Stiles and Watkins, and the Drive Guys. Live Monday through Friday from 6 to 6. Plus, view archive shows and exclusive content.
Subscribe at youtube.com/Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Stiles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
De'Aaron Fox, confusing is the word that comes to mind when you talk about De'Aaron Fox. 7 turnovers, most in any game this season. 7 first half rebounds. He had 3 steals. He had 27 points. He had 8 rebounds. He had 6 assists. But it doesn't feel very positive due to, obviously, the Kings losing. He did not get to the free throw line. I don't know how much of that is De'Aaron. Oh, Chris, because I was doing the Spanish broadcast, what happened when they got into one of the Kings? I believe it was one of the Kings' 15 turnovers, by the way. At one point, fresh turnovers. Anyone would like some fresh purple turnovers? What happened when De'Aaron was on the ground and there was a jump ball and De'Aaron was ticked off talking to Mike after? What happened there?
I don't think I saw that. No, I don't think I saw that.
Kyle, did you see that?
Yeah, we were talking about this on the radio side. So what I think happened was that they awarded a timeout to Miami, mm-hmm. but then I thought they retroactively went back and awarded it to Sacramento, but that didn't make sense because Miami had possession of the ball. You can't call timeout when you don't have possession. So I think there was just confusion about who awarded the timeout at the time, which I think they got sorted out. I think they called the timeout for Miami.
Because I remember at that point, it was pretty close to a 20-point lead, or it was not far from it, and you could tell that De'Aaron was starting to get frustrated. And then, shortly after, they turned it on, but unfortunately, it wasn't enough. I'm just sitting there, Chris, and you look up, and it was 101-81.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking, what happened?
I think everybody was.
Too. What? Yeah. When did this happen? When did? Yeah. Well, it feels like the meme. Well, that escalated quickly. From Will Ferrell. I'm just, what happened?
Turnovers happened. Miami started hitting threes. I think I looked it up and they were they shot like 50% from three in the second and third quarter. And the Kings really just, they got completely bamboozled by the zone. Like, this is the second time this season it's happened against Miami where, for whatever reason, I don't know if Miami just plays a little bit different of a zone than everybody else does, but they just have no idea what to do. And I know the Kings are free-flowing motion offense. Maybe that's what it is, that when you go in the zone, you're kind of filling up the spaces that traditionally have cutters and, you see Sabonis, see the guy playing. We saw some drop coverage yesterday. I think that just forcing the Kings to think about what they have to do in their offense, it just completely boggles everything and they don't know what to do. I thought when Mike Brown went to, I think there was a moment where he had Malik, De'Aaron, and Domas out there at the same time.
Great.
I thought that would be an answer because you just want as many passers and people who can, get into the paint as possible against the zone, but it just nothing worked. And I think a part of it is the Kings went cold themselves from three in the third, but I think for the most part, it's just that zone completely shut them down. And it's probably going to be something that teams, if the Kings do make the playoffs, it's going to be something that teams are probably going to look at to slow them down.
When Coach talked about the Kings and their zone, he said, the coach of De'Aaron Fox said that it's a zone with man principles or something.
He's talking about Miami's zone?
No, he was talking about their the zone. Their gotcha. Zone. And I wonder what the term would be for the Heat zone specifically and what
it's brutal.
What it is.
And it's really tough to watch.
But is it a zone? Is it?
Or it's how good much of to it, watch, but it's
how much of it is the zone and how much of it is the Heat's personnel. Now, I get it. You were down a couple guys, but defensively.
No, it's their zone.
Tyler Hero. Okay.
That's what they do. Yeah. I mean, that is like they are Jim Boeheim's Syracuse in the NBA. They have mastered that zone. They ran it pretty much the entirety of last year. Mm-hmm. Their offense, they pretty much gave up on offense last year. I think they were the worst scoring offense in the NBA last year. Just fully leaned into, we're going to play all of our games like this is 90s basketball.
They're the worst offense in the NBA. They made the finals,
I believe.
Yes,
so
because they also had the highest percentage of points scored on free throws, so they were just getting to the line
merchants.
Yes,
Miami merchants.
Miami.
But if I, that's pretty good.
That's great.
But if I told you Jimmy Butler gets fouled a lot, that's not the most surprising thing.
No.
It was just as a collective team, they were getting to the free throw line.
Kyle Lowry, too, at the time.
Lowry.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry is so funny to me, just a quick sidebar.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever wants him, but then when he gets on a team, he plays all the time. Is he on the Sixers now?
Yeah, Sixers. Yeah.
Every time I looked up, he was playing.
He was playing the other day. Yeah, he got heavy minutes the other day.
The Sixers just need bodies.
They need bodies.
That's kind of the thing with them.
That's also true.
They're like, can we go get Shake Milton right now? Is he available?
I would take Shake.
I just think that they just know what they're doing, man. And, it also did take some pretty Herculean efforts. Like, Kevin Love was ridiculous last night, hit a couple threes. Hayward Highsmith was great yesterday. The big one, we haven't even mentioned Jaime Jaquez's name yet.
I didn't want to.
That dude
Woo. Killed
them. You want to talk about Bam just saying straight up, I could beat Sabonis? Hake has said, pick, I don't care. Put whoever you want in front
you
of me.
You had the breakdown I'm of the matchups.
Bro, it was crazy. Jaime just, he destroyed everybody. I mean, that move that he put on.
Yeah.
That, I'm sorry. That move he put on Domantas Sabonis, that might be the best move I've seen all year. Like, just period, full stop. It was filthy. When you factor in the the situation too, like a gotta have it bucket, the up and under, and just sent Sabonis flying, the fluidity in which he did it, nuts. Like, I was so incredibly impressed with Jaime.
We have, while you get the matchups, we have the call from that, Kyle. Let's
hear it. He had the ball. Jaquez on the right wing in 3-point range against Sabonis. Now he digs toward the baseline, retreats with the dribble, under and up, and he scores two more. This kid plays like a 7-year veteran in this league. Jaime Jaquez from UCLA with 25 points.
And like I said, ridiculous. I was doing the Spanish Heat broadcast. You can imagine how it sounded on the Spanish. Whatever you think, add like 10 more levels
we
to
should,
that.
We got to try and find this. I'm going to see if
I'm
I can
sure
find
we
it.
Could. I'm sure we could.
Did
because
he hit the Jaime?
Was I mean,
like Jaime
he was juicing. I almost forgot what side I was on.
You
were
getting a nice little fist bump.
Like, man, that was nice. I got chill. I'm like, oh, wait, he's on the Heat, man. What's going
Un
on?
Fuego.
Yeah,
Jaquez, like I said, he destroyed everybody. Keegan, this is via NBA.com's matchups. He was 4 of 6 when guarded by Keegan Murray for about 5 minutes there. Chris Duarte, he was 2 of 4. Malik Monk, straight 4 of 4. De'Aaron Fox, when guarding him, he was 1 of 3. When Kevin Huerter was guarding him, he was 2 of 2. When Sabonis guarded him, 1 of 2. It did not matter. It did not matter who the Kings put on him. Jaime just cooked. And, you know, I was impressed with the physicality. I was impressed with the finishing ability, the fact that they trust him at that level already. Dude's going to be a problem.
And they got another one.
He looks a lot like Jimmy Butler, too. Just the way he plays, like the turnarounds, the backing people up. I was incredibly impressed with Jaime Jaquez yesterday.
They got another one. When we get back, it's time. It's been a while, but it's time for Blame Pie. Where does blitzing belong on that blame? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Blame pie, what's your flavor? Chris doesn't like pie at all, so we won't leave it up to him.
This is canon at this point.
It did say Jason Ross did leave up the national day, so we can say what, strawberry?
There you go.
I don't know if they do that. Yeah, strawberry pie. All right. I don't know if that's a thing.
I think of strawberry shortcake.
Strawberry shortcake. But we can't do that because that's a success cake. And then what you said one time.
How about a strawberry cheesecake? It was a credit cake.
Credit cake. Yes. That's right.
Blame pie and credit cake.
So we'll just go with a nasty flavor since the Kings lost.
Credit cake sounds like a predatory credit card company. Like just giving you way too high of interest rates.
I'm trying to, go ahead and shred those up. All right, so blame pie. Look, man, people can say what they want as far as, and we haven't really done it too much, but Eric Spoelstra outcoached Mike Brown last year.
Sure. Yep.
So Mike Brown.
Eric Spoelstra, one of the best, if not the best coach in the
NBA. Yeah. And sometimes this stuff gets rolling and you see, oh man, it's got to be a little bit overrated. And then you see it in person like we did last night.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't overrated at all.
No, not at all.
So Mike Brown, for me. I go, what? I'm go 40, 30 or 40.
We're talking about last night specifically.
Last night specifically.
Yeah, probably 30-40. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
You know, I think having your guys, they just felt ill-prepared for the zone again, which is, that's just hard to defend. Like, I thought last time when they struggled against the zone, it was a tough look. This time, I don't understand how it happens. I definitely want to put some blame on the players for sure because
we'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get there.
You still have 70% of the
pie.
We
sure do. But yeah, I think Mike Brown had his team a bit ill prepared for that zone, at least seemingly. And yeah, he definitely got outcoached by Spo. There shouldn't be no reason why, you know, that roster comes close to the Kings at full strength. That just can't happen.
All right, so we'll leave him at 30 for now.
Yeah, we'll say 30.
Let's go to what? You want to go De'Aaron Fox? You want to go specific players?
I would say, yeah, I mean, physicality in general, just lack of, like, I don't know what the, not intangibles, but like the 50-50 balls, the just general defensive effort, the attention to details. You know, it was all there against the Clippers. I talked about how they got all the 50-50 balls against the Clippers. I talked about how, you know, you could just feel that the Clippers wanted it more, or I'm sorry, the Kings wanted it more than the Clippers on Sunday. All of those things were true of Miami yesterday, and I think that's a problem that can't go from game to game. So I'm going to say hustle, I guess, hustle and just effort. I'll give that 10 to 15% for sure.
Okay, we'll go 10%, so we're at 40 right now. I'm going to say it's a tough one with De'Aaron because he did have 27, but the 7 turnovers is rough for
so
me.
So tough, yeah.
I got to go 20%.
For De'Aaron or De'Aaron's turnovers and more specifically?
Right, because of the turnovers, he's at 20.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fair. He's got the ball in his hands just as much as Sabonis does. And yeah, I mean, there was a lot of just, he would drive into the zone, break through the first layer, and then there was like two times where the guy behind him would just poke it free. Didn't love that for sure.
Well, so if Fox is at 20%, what about Sabonis? Because he had the triple-double. Right. It also was getting cooked by Bam and Hawkins on that one.
I would give a solid 25% to Sabonis just for that. The defense, not that it was lack of effort, but just getting cooked.
Yeah.
And then offensively, you know, I think it's okay that, you know, one day, one night, Sabonis can't give you his A game. And I think that's okay. But at the same time, he got absolutely destroyed on defense. Maybe you can throw in the excuse of he's coming back from the illness, and I think that could be legit. But I just think he got absolutely demolished yesterday in the one-on-ones. And so, yeah, I'll give him, on top of the 14 points, I'll give Sabonis like 20% as well.
Yeah, it feels – who do you think deserves more? Because it feels like if Sabonis is getting 20, I don't know that Fox deserves 20.
Yeah, I feel like Sabonis probably deserves more.
Yeah.
I just think he again, kind of personally got cooked one too many times. And, you know, De'Aaron was there late in the game. And, you know, I think he could have been a bit more impactful, but he still did have 28 points.
Yeah, so.
And these Sabonis triple-doubles are not getting empty calories, but I'm just saying it's getting a bit of, like, can we win the game? You know?
Yeah, so we have about 30% left. We could cop out and just say 30 to Heat culture.
Yeah, for sure, right. Yeah,
I mean, unfortunately.
To Whelan College.
To Whelan College gets 5%. Yeah. Jaime Jaquez gets about 20.
Yeah, Jaime and Bam for sure.
Like, even Kevin Love, man. Kevin Love, I think his season high was 22 coming into the game.
He was throwing his body around yesterday. He knocked Malik
down. He had
like
nine
twice.
Straight points for for the Heat in the third.
Yep.
That was bad.
It was not great. It was Kevin Love of old for
it's
sure.
It's the perfect spot for Kevin Love to go to at this stage of his career, right?
Really
they just
is.
Need him to rebound and shoot three-pointers. Yep. It's so perfect.
Yeah, I think giving Bam and Jaquez a solid 30% credit, or I guess like blame for the reason why the Kings looked so bad yesterday, is definitely fair, because those guys really the game really was put in their hands. Like that game, if they just miss more shots, that game goes in the Kings' favor.
Right.
Those two were just on yesterday. Hawkins, 12 of 17 from the field. He only took two threes, if I'm not mistaken, yesterday. Like, it wasn't even like he was out there pulling, and he wasn't a NBA Jam. He's on fire. He can't be stopped.
12
he just
for 17.
attacked. And, you know, that's on them for just individually beating their guy time after time after time.
There was a stretch where it felt like the Kings gave up about 3 to 5 offensive rebounds in a row.
Yes. Yeah,
and
yeah.
it just took the air out of the building.
That was at the end of the game, too, yeah.
And it was, okay, you got it. Because it was still, because what happened was the Kings got within 2, and then I think after that the Heat went on an 11-2 run to end the game or something like that. So
it was in Spanish, so it's a
it was in Spanish, so once, you know what I mean? So I was figuring it all out, but they got within 2, and then the Heat. And that's part of the Heat culture. I think there are a lot of teams that do fold there, especially in Golden 1 against a Kings team that decided to turn it
Massive
on.
Massive comeback.
Yeah, and they bend but no break, and that's what happened with the Heat last night. So that looks like a pretty good blame pie. Yeah. Right.
I think you still need 5%.
We'll give the zone 5%.
We'll give the zone
5%. Yeah.
There you go.
It might even be more.
Malik, you don't get any of the pie today.
Malik,
you know, he definitely could have been better.
Yeah.
But
he got pulled. I mean, he wasn't really out there.
Yeah, you know.
You know, and that's another thing looking at the
Malik's
box
also
score.
Been really good here recently.
Malik had 7. Oh, and also Malik will have 7 assists.
Right.
7. And it did not matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out. I didn't realize until I looked at the box score earlier today, Duncan Robinson had 11 assists.
Yeah, that was I believe it was a career high.
That's insane. It's got to be a career high. Yeah. I don't.
You brought this up earlier, and the funniest part about this box score is Duncan Robinson from the field was 1 for 11,
0
for 6 from 3, had 4 points, and was plus 25.
Yeah. Those assists.
Yeah. No, he was great yesterday.
He was oddly putting pressure on the Kings.
The guy who they joked for years can only catch and shoot 3-pointers.
Yeah,
is
that
out
was a
there
while ago, though.
I know, it's crazy. Duncan Robinson has transformed his game now.
And they've kind of done the same thing when he's on the court, but Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they are completely sure what Tyler Hero is, but he's definitely turning into more of a playmaker. I think Heat culture, hey, we need everybody to do a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Remember 3 years ago when the Heat refused to include Tyler Hero in trade conversations for James Harden?
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm sure that's working out great in hindsight now.
Yeah.
Considering they just drafted Jaime Jaquez and are doing the exact same thing.
That's what they do. I'm thinking as far as what these guys did last night and the Heat culture, and bringing up Duncan Robinson leads us into the beginning of our conversation. We'll continue it throughout the show, but the blitzing, because coach was asked about the blitzing and he's naming off guys, Chris, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful
here,
but we're naming off guys now, and it's okay. Well, you can't blitz out of bio and you can't blitz Jaime. It gets to the point now where is there anybody when Keegan is supposed to be your stopper, could not stop Jaime Jaquez. So you really just don't have a stopper because you can't just what are we talking about? We're talking about blitzing on a night where there was no Jimmy, Hero, or Rozier.
Yeah.
What are we actually talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really understood the whole blitz. Like, blitzing to me is for very, very specific people in the NBA. Like, I don't think you should throw out blitz. Like, tonight, like last night wasn't even a night where you should consider blitzing. Like, there, you should have guys who are capable of defending your guys one-on-one at the very least. And frankly, blitzing should only be a situation where it's like, this guy is there. If we can just get, it's Steph Curry. That's how you guard Steph Curry, is you get the ball out of his hands and you just force everybody else to beat you. That's not the situation, or that shouldn't be the situation against the Miami Heat. There should not be, especially the shorthanded Miami Heat, there should not be one player that is killing you so bad that you just have to force the ball out of his hands. You should be able to match up and have some sort of answer without blitzing. Blitzing is like a last resort kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't, just similar to Steph Curry, I don't understand when you see some of the proposed lines for Luka. I'm thinking, why doesn't this team just, especially when Kyrie doesn't play, why isn't this team just blitzing Luka?
Yeah.
That's a guy you blitz.
Yeah, I think the fear is with guys like Luka or the bigger guys who have, like, he'll find the open guy. I think that's the fear there, is that Luka is capable of, from the half court line, finding everybody because he's 6'8 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's more of the specific case with Luka, but for the most part, I mean, I think blitzing should be reserved for, the Paul, not really Chris Paul anymore, but, you know, guys like that, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, you know, guys that you're really just, you cannot have them kill you. And I just don't think last night was a situation where, you know, yeah, Jaime Jaquez is being incredible, but I didn't think it was him bringing the ball down the floor and just orchestrating the offense. A lot of the times he was just getting the ball in the post and going to work.
Right.
Or getting it at the perimeter and just going straight at the rim.
When we get back, a little break from the Kings to talk about Monty Williams and the Pistons who took on the Knicks. And I thought football season was over, but it looks like it wasn't over.
Full swing.
With Dante DiVincenzo taking down Asar Thompson. We have that sound. Monty's not happy, and let's just say this. He's going to take the fine with pleasure. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
The NFL's leading rusher plays here.
And a handoff to McCaffrey, walks in the end zone. Handoff to McCaffrey, takes it right down to the goal line. He does his thing again.
McCaffrey goes in motion right, backwards pass led by Juszczyk, a block there.
Hurdles a man, 10-5, touchdown! CMC!
You can hear all of Christian McCaffrey's touchdowns on your home for 49ers football, Sacktown Sports. Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
The NFL Combine is getting kicked off today, I believe. They're out there. Saw some Niners media members, official and unofficial, out there as well. That's something I've always wanted to go to, the Combine.
The Combine?
I mean, it's not the highest on my list. I got, right. I still have now, you know, I didn't go to the Super Bowl, but that experience I can cross off. Yeah. I'd like to, I believe I will cross off All-Star next season.
Probably.
I also have an SEC football game on my list.
Really?
When you were in the Bay, did you go to any NBA Finals games?
Did I?
I feel like you would know.
I actually don't think I did.
Okay.
I don't think I did. Weirdly enough. Oddly
I don't
enough.
Think that's weird.
No, it would have.
Yeah. It's pretty expensive.
It probably would have been the 2022 run, probably.
Right. Because I was part timer, so I didn't get the super hookup.
I didn't care.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I went, though.
I feel like you definitely would have. I would hope that you would remember.
Because, okay, so in 2022, game one was that one where, like, Al Horford hit, like, a bunch of three pointers in the fourth quarter.
Actually, I might not have gone. Because I was helping out with post games and stuff.
Right.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I don't think I got to go then prior to that. No. When I wasn't in media, no. I was not cashing out.
I don't know. Maybe that 2018 year when the Cavs were just getting smoked out the finals by the Warriors. Maybe people were selling tickets.
Right. Yeah. No, don't. I have not. So that's obviously still on the list. But
I don't think the Combine would be fun. Like a fun viewing experience. No, I think like the bantering in the stands with
network.
Like GMs.
Yeah,
and
but I'm just
going to
network
stuff,
out there. I'm just going
to
network.
I mean, yeah, you definitely would. You would personally do great out there.
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Would you ask John Lynch a question at his press conference?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
From what I understand too with the Combine, it's more so about the, you know, it's a networking event. Like it's more about going out to the right bar and dinner after the festivities are
done. That's right.
Talk with, you know, some coaches and get some golf in maybe. I don't think the weather in Indy right now is great based off the All-Star game last week, but yeah.
Top golf.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear from Monty Williams, who is not in the mood for networking. Oof. He's in the mood for being ticked off. And if you didn't see this play, Dante DiVincenzo essentially tackles Asar Thompson as the Pistons were beating the Knicks.
They were up one. They got a steal.
Yeah.
Asar loses the ball on the, you know, helmet to chest contact.
Spear.
Yeah.
And then shortly.
Good form tackle.
Shortly after that. Durin gets called for a foul on Josh Hart, I believe, and that's the end of the ball game. This is what Monty Williams had to say.
The absolute worst call of the season. No call. And enough's enough. We've done it the right way. We've called the league. We've sent in clips. We're sick of hearing the same stuff over and over again. We had a chance to win the game, and the guy dove into Asar's legs, and there was a no call. That's an abomination. You cannot miss that in an NBA game, period. And I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of our guys asking me, what more can we do, coach? That situation is Exhibit A to what we've been dealing with all season long, and enough's enough. You cannot dive into a guy's legs in a big-time game like that and there be a no-call. It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it. We just want a fair game called, period. And I got nothing else to say. We want a fair game, and that was not fair.
And he just leaves.
And I'm out. He's got a point. And
he's got a great point.
As someone who watched the Kings when they were in the bottom of the barrel in the dumps, it's a thing. It's definitely a real thing. The NBA, the refs, they don't care about you when you're a terrible team like that. And they're pretty much like always looking for an excuse not to give the other team the game, but you're not going to get the benefit of the whistle when you're the Detroit Pistons and you have a 27 game losing streak on your resume this season. Like you're just not going to get the benefit of the doubt. Saying that, for anyone who hasn't seen this replay, I cannot express how perfect of a form tackle it was by Dante DiVincenzo. Like, he saw the ball, he just goes right for Asur Thompson's thighs and just takes him out, like completely takes him out. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He tackled him. It's on the sideline closest to the camera too, so you can't really see what goes on, but really all you see is the loose ball. DiVincenzo dive. And you're like, okay, that's a foul. There's no whistle. And then Brunson just picks it up and gives it to Josh Hart, who gets the N1. It was crazy. And I think Monty Williams is completely right. It's wild. It's insane. And I wouldn't know what to do. If I were him, like, that's – it's almost like the the Saints had that non-call PI against the Rams all those years back. Really similar to that, to where it's just I that just is a foul. And if you're not going to call it – I don't know what we're doing
here.
Yeah. Just give it to them if that's what we were going to do.
I know we're an audio medium, but Mike Breen's call of the play happening is absolutely incredible. I just want to play a quick snap.
Yeah, I was like, you have it.
To DiVincenzo. 10 seconds ago, he throws it away. Ball loose, picked up by Brunson. Brunson inside the Hart. Hart banks it in.
I feel like Mike did not do it justice.
Yeah. I don't think Mike, maybe he didn't even see how ridiculous it was. But the memes that we've seen, have you seen them with all the football clips?
No.
People saying DiVincenzo to Thompson. And they're just old football highlights.
It's just like Sean Taylor knocking out that punter in the
That's
Pro Bowl.
So good.
It's exactly what it was terrible.
Dude,
so
it was horrible.
As baseball gets started, by the way, Shohei making his Dodgers spring debut. Same with Lee, right? Jung-Hoo Lee for the Giants as well, both making their debuts. But as baseball has already started to try out robot umps, okay, is this a problem that the NBA cares enough about? Because I would say the same way you said that about the Kings, Chris, there is a correlation between a team not playing well and also players getting different calls.
Right.
And there's something literally called the superstar whistle.
Yes.
Would you say that, hey, because LeBron has been in the league and done so much for the league, he deserves a better whistle than Cade Cunningham or somebody that hasn't done anything? Is that a thing? Or because of what the Knicks mean to the NBA and them getting in the playoffs is great for the NBA, I don't really care that the Pistons, who already stink and maybe losing helps them anyway because they're tanking again, I don't really care. Do you think it's a problem that the NBA will ever try? I don't know what that – you can't have robot refs.
Yeah, you can't.
Right? But technically you could. You put some type of – I chip on it on them.
It would burn a lot of calories.
Summer. We'll do it in the summer. We'll do it in the summer.
How
to fix officiating. But do you think this is a problem worth solving? Because it's a thing. And the fact that we all know it's a thing feels unfair.
Yeah, I think there's a way of solving it. And I would guess it would just be literally having a third-party observer watch the game. Like, watch it on TV. Like, watch it on a broadcast television and call the game from that perspective too. I think the problem becomes with the NBA is people already complain so much about the last 2 minutes like going in quicksand that there's not really an efficient way of doing it. Like, I think I've seen now in baseball with the efficient, robot umps, it's as simple as, you know, the batter looks at the ump makes some hand signal, they turn around, thumbs up, thumbs down, next play.
Yes.
I think the problem is with the NBA, there's not really a way. I mean, with the officials, with the replays already, they take forever. They take like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. They get full songs out, memeing the refs looking at the play, and there's still not a decision. And then if you're going to add another official and another opinion, it's only going to take longer. So I think the problem is just figuring out how to get that official to make those calls in real time without delaying the game any more than, frankly, it already is delayed.
When we get back, Mike Brown was asked about Heat culture and how the Kings can replicate or have their own version of that here in Sacramento. We'll hear what he has to say. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.